Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. Thank you for coming to Story Smash with your the storytelling game show. Now, without further ado, let's put our hands together for your host and the creator of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn.
You guys have picked an amazing night to be here. First off, we've got three contestants on the show who have won before. Yeah, like they know what they're doing. That's the thing. And we're going to get this show started right away by revealing the Wheel of Stories. Wow, that's exciting. Okay, there's 13 permanent topics on the wheel, you guys. And then there's one space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, they can choose any topic on the wheel. And there's two spaces that say audience. And if they land on audience, then it's your choice to tell them what story you would like to hear. And we'll have our expert judges choose one of those topics. And speaking of expert judges, wait till you see who is here, you guys. Right now, coming to the stage is the one and only Danny Zucker. He is an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family. Before that, he worked on various capacities on Just Shoot Me, Roseanne, the Arsenio Hall Show. And he has a new book coming out this spring, and it's called He Started It. And it's about his chronicles with his Twitter war with our president, Donald Trump. You can follow this American hero on Twitter at Danny Zucker. All right. And right now, coming to the stage is Mary Lynn Ricecub, you guys. She is an actress and a comedian. She's best known for portraying Chloe O'Brien on the television show 24. Now, Mary Lynn was also one of the original cast members of Mr. Show, and she's appeared in numerous films, including Punch Drunk Love, Little Miss Sunshine, and Road Trip. And you can find her on Twitter at Mary Lynn Ricecub. And because I'm a giver, I'm going to spell it for them. Mary Lynn Ricecub, R-A-J, I got to look down, S-K-U-B. There you go, Mary Lynn Ricecub. All right, she's here. Give it up for her one more time, yes. Woo! And finally, our third judge tonight is Ryder Strong, you guys. Put your hands together for Ryder Strong. He's an actor, a director, a producer, and a screenwriter. You know him for his role as Sean Hunter on Boy Meets World and also the follow-up Girl Meets World. Hunter film fanatics will never forget his nail-biting performance in the cult classic Cabin Fever. And Ryder is also an avid reader. We all read, but you read more. And he shares his passion for books on the podcast Literary Disco. You can find him on Twitter at Ryder Strong and on his website, strong-bros.com. And one more thing, my daughter is in love with Ryder Strong. She's 11. Put it up together really for Ryder Strong.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, we're going to be playing three rounds of Story Smash tonight. And when the contestant comes to the stage, you're going to yell this. Let's practice. Here we go.
Spin that wheel.
Do you like the new sign, Danny?
Wow. Beautiful.
You like that?
Beautiful sign.
Thank you. Okay, so this first round is only a minute long story. Only 1 minute. That's like an introduction, you guys. You're not going to learn a lot about them. I'm just saying.
1 minute would be a
record. Depends on how you do that minute, you know?
Yeah. That's true. All right, 1 minute. You guys ready for the first contestant?
Yeah, let's bring
absolutely.
Them
all right, you guys. Coming to the stage is... This is an amazing talent. I love this girl. Her name is Mindy Rickles, you guys. Mindy Rickles. She's an actress and a comedian. She's also the daughter of the one and only Don Rickles. You have seen Mindy in Jeff Garland's film Dealing with Idiots, and you've also seen her comedy clubs all over Los Angeles. You play the improv.
Yes.
You play the Laugh Factory. You're everywhere. You also have a monthly show called Mondays with Mindy right here, right?
Laugh.
At the Laugh Factory. Sorry about that. You can find Mindy on Twitter at Mindy Rickles. You guys, let her hear it.
Spin
that wheel.
Okay, mom. So my mom, she has this very weird way of talking. Her mouth gets very tight like this. Her jaw locks and her tongue just goes out of her mouth like this. So it's like, so Mindy, listen. We go, and she has to know everything. I could be at Bed and Bath. I'd be like, Mom, I'm looking for sheets in aisle 9. Wait, start again. start against for you what? You're looking for sheets in aisle 17 for baby blankets. No, Mom, my kids are 40 and 49. Okay, start again. What? And then growing up, she's taking me to the pharmacy because she needed a lot of pills. And so she always wanted me to marry a doctor, but I couldn't. But she would see the pharmacist. She'd be like, look, Mindy, you know, he wears the white coat. He's like a doctor, but he's not. He's an almost doctor. I'm like, was that a fly you just swatted? Oh, okay. And, but I'm bumped. Was that a fly? Oh, Mindy.
Mindy Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Mindy Rickles. Come on, let her hear it. All right, Danny Zucker, what did you think?
You know, I was raised by a lizard as well, so I found that I connected with that. My mom always wants to know what I'm doing and where I'm at. You took me on a journey, and I think I'm wiser for it.
Mary Lynn.
I was delighted by the choice right out of the gate just to describe her jaw and the movement of her mouth. I just said, I'm in. I'm going to go wherever this is going to go, and... you know, the climax was also the ending, just her eating a fly like a frog. Thank you for that.
Ryder, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, it was a great impression, and that, you know, it was impression work. And then you brought it into the story with the dialogue at the end. So
there you go. You tied it up. Yeah. All right, Mindy Rickles, you guys, let her hear it. Okay, you guys, next contestant coming to the stage is Jenna Brister.
Woo!
Jenna Brister, you guys. She's a 5-time Moth Story Slam winner, and that's saying something. Let me tell you something. She made her feature film debut in Permanent, which I saw. That's now out in theaters and on iTunes. And you currently write made-for-TV thriller movies for Lifetime. That's amazing. You can find her on Twitter at Jenna Brister, you guys. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
The nice spin. Vacay.
Growing up, Brister involved going on a lot of camping trips. And one summer, I was in high school, and I went to the Big Goodwill in Seattle to buy a Spandex unitard. It's the one that in the Macklemore thrift store music video. That's the one. And so I wore all summer to the lake. And one day I was swimming with my brother and my sister, and we're swimming out across the lake, and all of a sudden I had to go to the bathroom. And so I didn't want to swim back to the shore where my family was waiting and go up to the pool house and peel it down. So I decided to peel it down in the lake and go to the bathroom. But then when I pulled it back on, I didn't get out of the way of all of it. And so I didn't know this. And I swam back over and I climb out of the lake, and my dad and my mom and my grandparents and my aunts and my uncles and cousins are all there, and they just point and start laughing, and they're like, why is there shit in your unitard? And I was like, ah! And so my dad made me get back in the lake and peel it down and shake it all out.
Jenna Brister, wow. She made good use of that minute. What did you think, Mary Lynn?
The beginning was so mysterious. She kept saying, go to the bathroom. Like, it was so ladylike. Then I went, go to the bathroom. I was like, what happened down there? I go to the bathroom for lots of different things. And then, you know, when she used the word shit, a girl became a woman. And it was fantastic.
In real time. Danny, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, I'm jealous of the ease with which you... See, I would go to a lake as well, or the ocean, and my dad was like, just pee in the ocean. But if there's even, like, somebody waiting behind me at a urinal, it's over. Like, I cannot go. Very shy. Nothing to do with the size of my penis. And so I was more filled with envy at your ability to evacuate so easily.
God, Ryder, what did you think?
Yeah, it was great. It was very, you know, very straightforward. One minute. Went, went right for the scatological. It was, yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
All right, you guys, Jenna Brister, there she goes. Yeah. Okay, another 1 minute story is coming at us right now from John Gabris, you guys. Ooh. John Gabris. John Gabris, you guys, he's an actor and a comedian. He's best known for his work on MTV's Guy Code, comedy Bang Bang, and he's also the host of 2 hilarious podcasts.
This is a weird part that I have to stand here for this.
High and Mighty and Raised by Dive TV. You'll also find him in the action comedy Game Over, Man. It's on Netflix. And more importantly, you guys, he's America's number one fuckboy. There he is.
Thank you.
You can find him
That's
over on Twitter at Gabrus. Tell him what to do.
All right.
Kind of a dainty spin. Good for
a dainty squat.
We well. Gotta just get right to it. I know if I spin it too hard. Okay, drunk tank. Where to begin? Okay, so here's a quick one. I was out at partying at a college bar called Foxhole. We were the Red Foxes, so that was a pun for us. We didn't go to war. We were in college. We're partying after a girl I was talking to walked by and flicked my ear. And I got so mad. It was like a bit. And I called her like the C word as a bit. But as I said it, instant karma, I slipped on ice and hit myself on the head. And I just kind of like got a little dazed. I guess it was a concussion now that we know what they are. And I went back to my house. It was super snowy and icy, and I jumped out of my second floor window to my friends to prove you could land in the bushes like in the movies if they had snow in them. And then I came back, and everyone was like, yeah, you look fucked up, man. I was like, whatever. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning to go register for classes, and when I sat down, I hadn't looked at myself in the mirror because I was so hungover. The woman said, do you need a second? And she held the mirror up to me, and I was covered in scratches and
Wow.
Man, if you can guess the ending. I was covered in dried blood, scratches, and bruises. And I had been walking around all evening and day like that.
Whoa. All right, yeah. John Gabrus, you guys. Put your hands together. Let him hear
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Ryder, what did you think?
It was good. It was, you know, it was a Shaggy Dog drunk story.
Yeah.
We didn't quite get to the ending, but yeah.
You could imagine. Yeah, it's really not
I think
much.
We got the gist.
Well, what happened? So at the end, you were covered in blood all night.
Yeah, I was. When I came back to my room, my girlfriend at the time was sleeping next, is still sleeping in bed. And when I pulled the covers down, the pillow was like soaked with blood, like Godfather style. And I was like, "You didn't notice this?"
What did you think, Mary Lynn?
The fact that you didn't notice it shows a real humble lack of self-awareness. Yeah. That, you know,
I'm not a mirror guy, if you can put that
and
together.
And also, when you said, where do I begin, it leads me to believe this could be a whole series. You know, you could just do story after story.
All right, Danny Zucker.
Also not a mirror guy. I've had an entire day ruined by just catching my reflection in a store window. Like, I'm just, like, walking around having the happiest day. And it's like... Grandpa, you got so fat. And
yeah, I'm very comfortable sitting shiva.
Yeah.
It just feels good.
But I, you know, look, I love a good, as a drunk and a recovering addict somewhat, I really appreciate it. So thank you.
All right, John Gabrus, you guys. John Gabrus. Danny, isn't that a drink sitting right there?
Yes. No, I'm not an alcoholic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, no, it was more of a, I quit like cocaine.
Oh, I see.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I did all of it.
Yeah.
All right, God, I miss my septum.
All right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Brian Finkelstein. He is a regular performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles, as well as host of the L.A. Moth Story Slams. He's also an Emmy-nominated writer for The Ellen DeGeneres Show. And if you want to find more about him and hear his depressing views on life, follow him on Twitter at B.S. Finkelstein. You guys, tell him what to do. Oh, see, this is where it gets very interesting, my friend, because the audience is going to choose what story.
I thought I was going to tell a story about the audience. I was like fucking all into it.
All right, so you guys, tell us some story ideas, and then you, as the expert judges, you'll pick one of these topics. All right, what do you guys want to hear?
Audience.
What else? Hospital. First date.
Ellen.
Pet's already on the wheel. That's already on the wheel. Denied. Wedding. Anything else? Mexican food. Virginity. First place you had sex. Weirdest place. You had it in summer camp. Okay. All right, that's enough. What do you guys want to hear?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're checking in, but we mostly want to hear Ellen's stories.
It's either all Ellen or Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If Ellen was eating Mexican food,
that
would
both work in there. That'd be perfect.
If you can get it all in there.
All right, I'll do it this way. I used to work for a daytime talk show. I'm not going to say which show. And it was great. It was a great job. It was great. She's amazing. Everyone's amazing. But but the thing is, there is a thing where the production meetings, you would pitch up funny ideas, and anybody could pitch an idea, but nobody did because nobody would ever laugh. They'd just be like, that was funny, because they're all sad and scared and of their jobs. And so one day this writer assistant stood up and said, I have a joke, and everyone was like, holy shit, amazing. And so but right when he goes to stand up, I have an idea. Everyone turned, 100 people in the room, and he farts. A huge, not like a small squeaker, like a tuba, and everyone in the room for the first time in the year I worked there laughed. Just howling laughed, people hitting the thing, camerawoman, doing a little dance. And it dies down, and then everyone's like, all right, moving on. He's like, no, I'm going to go again. Everyone's like, Rudy. I mean, his name wasn't Rudy. And he stood up, and because he farted all the blood, and he was so embarrassed, he was red. Oh, he fainted. He passed out again, and hit the floor.
Wow, that was amazing, Brian Finkelstein. Ryder Strong, what'd you think?
That's a pretty great story. I mean, you set up all the levels. It's it starts at one level. We're like, oh, we're kind of nervous for this guy in this room. Makes it great fart joke, and then takes it to another level. Perfect.
Yeah.
Farting and fainting.
Farting, fainting.
All of it. Danny, what'd you think?
I was in. That was a complete story. That was a beginning, middle, and end. I've been in those writers' rooms where it's misery to pitch. It's just I'm sorry. I once had to say to somebody, I pitched a joke, and they go, that's terrible. Oh. And I said, a human being wrote that joke.
Yeah, what's wrong with people?
A human being just said that joke.
I was
joke.
How can you even say, I'm just trying to do my job. They're not all going to be good. So I felt for all of you.
Mary Lynn, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, not seeing the faint coming, the whole story was great, but then the faint, I just was like, oh! It just took me to a buoyant place that I haven't felt since I was a child.
I'm glad that guy's misery is so enjoyable to all of us.
Amazing. Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Let him hear it. All right, you guys, there's one more storyteller coming up, and she's going to tell another true one-minute story, and then everybody comes back up, and we tell two-minute stories. Not at the same time, but they'll all be coming back up. But right now, here comes the fifth contestant and the final contestant for the first round, and that is Debbie June, you guys. Put your hands together for Debbie June. She's a writer and a performer who was born in Iran and then moved to Los Angeles after Beverly Hills fell to the Persians way back in the 1900s. Now, she's been a writer on MTV's The Inbetweeners, ABC's The Neighbors, Hulu's Deadbeat, Freeform's Kevin from Work, and a Marvel show that she can't talk about.
Everything gets canceled.
You can't find Debbie on social media, but she's here right now, and she performs at storytelling shows all across Los Angeles. All right, you guys, tell Debbie what to do. Holidays.
All right. I'm basically raised Orthodox Jewish, and so I went to seminary after high school in Israel for the year. And during the Hanukkah holidays, I was basically the only one in the dorm, and somebody had come in and stolen my video camera. And then I got a call a week later. I was like, I don't know where my video camera is. I must have left it somewhere. And I get a call, and it's the guy, and he's like, hey, I have your video camera. I'll sell it back to you for $100. This is all in Hebrew. And so I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And so I tell the principal. The principal calls his guy at the police station. Police gets me in, and they're like, all right, don't worry about it. We're going to follow you. I go to where I'm supposed to meet him, and all of a sudden, I see two guys going psst, 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 come in the back. And so I go to the back, and it's these two Israelis that were hiding in a rug store, and they're like, we're going to follow you. Don't worry about it. Then I go outside. I'm waiting. The phone rings. It's a payphone. I pick up, and he's like, are you alone? And I'm like, are you going to kill me? And he's like, no. And I'm like, all right. So then I go up the block to meet him, and then he gives me...
Debbie June, you guys. Debbie June, wait. Stay here. Stay with us. Okay. Mary Lynn, yeah. Go ahead.
You'll never know.
Wow. I'd like to know if you can.
Can you tell us? Can you tell us the very ending?
Yeah, he was an Orthodox Jew, and then he started crying, and then the cops jumped out of the bushes from behind me and tackled him to the ground, and then he was sobbing, and then I didn't press charges, and then the cops told me I was a shit man.
Wow. That adds a whole other layer to it. Danny, what'd you think?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm sitting next to Mary Lynn here, but the whole thing felt like a 24 to me. I mean... I thought
you were going to say something about me not being Jewish.
No, I was going to talk about how anti-Semitic you were, but it's a conversation we have all the time.
What is Hebrew? What is that again?
I thought it was a great story. I wish you had gotten it all in at the end. Obviously, have to take off style points, unfortunately. I don't want to, but it's the rules. Yeah.
What did you think, Ryder?
It was very suspenseful, and I really wanted to know what was happening. So it was a perfect crime show vibe. But was it really on vacation or holidays? Holidays.
Holidays.
That was like kind of a stretch.
There were menorahs everywhere.
Right. That was just the setting.
Surrounded by menorahs.
It's like calling. It's like a Gremlins is a Christmas movie. You know. It's like
Die Hard. That's the real.
I was gonna say that, but being Jewish, the idea of it is like a holiday to me. So. the story was a holiday.
Yeah, because it's been such a holiday being Jewish. Yeah. Traditionally. Over the years.
I didn't mean it like that.
All right, you guys. Debbie June, let her hear it. That was exciting. Did you hear how those judges just called her out? Man, they just said, hey, where was the holiday? Look at you, Ryder. That was exciting. All right, now the second round is going to start. This time, they tell a true two-minute story. Danny, do you think it's easier to tell a one-minute story or a two-minute story?
I would much rather have 2 minutes. 1 minute is tough.
Very tough.
I mean, beginning, that's tough.
Yeah. Mary Lynn, do you think you'd rather tell a one-minute or a two-minute story?
2 minutes all the way.
All the way. Ryder, you too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not a surprise we went right to fart jokes and shit jokes, like when putting two separate stories. You know, it's like, you only have that much time, you got to go right to the meat.
Well, they know their audience.
Yeah.
All right, all the names are back in the jar here, you guys. And the first storyteller coming up to tell a true two-minute story is Mindy Rickles, you guys. Mindy Rickles. All right, tell her what to do. She was first the last round. Isn't that ironic?
It's like rain on your wedding day.
So, breakups. I dated this guy for quite a long time, but what happened was he was like a stalker type. You're probably, some of you, too young for this. It was like Endless Love with Brooke Shields, the guy who played the male lead who never had a job again. Okay, that guy, he was like that. And what would happen was every time we go out to dinner, if I said, you know, he said, you want the swordfish, you want the veal. I want the swordfish. He was going to have the veal. He'd be like, what? And he would start sobbing hysterically at the table. And it was totally embarrassing, completely humiliating with me. Sometimes we'd be in bed and I'd see, you know, this from behind. And I was like, what the hell are you doing, right? And he told me he loved me, you know, on the Dumbo ride at Disneyland. But I didn't say I loved him back. And we were going around very fast, so it sounded like, you know. He didn't know exactly if I said it or not, and I didn't. So he was very, you know, he annoyed me. And as time went on, he annoyed me more and more. And, you know, I went on a trip, and he was like, you know, while you were away, I threw myself off a cliff. You know, I tried to kill myself. You know, it was like, please, leave me alone. You're annoying. I was shopping in Paris. So he just got on my nerves. He really got on my nerves. And then finally, you know, I was still living at home. I was 38. And finally, you know, he came to my house one night late, and he was like, Mindy, you know, let me in. And we had a big gate. You know, you heard my father was Don Rickles, very wealthy family. I lived, you know, in a home that looked like Dynasty, and there was like a huge, there was a moat and whatever. And so he really wanted to get in, and my father, you know, you might have known him, he'd say, did anyone mention me tonight? Yes. So anyway, he pressed the buzzer, he's like, let me in, it's like 3 a.m, my father's like, go home, Richard. And at that point, he wasn't even frightened of him, right? At that point, he said, I'm throwing myself in. Like, I don't know, there were dragons, lizards. He threw himself over the gate, like landed on the ground. He was bleeding. I'm like, I'm not calling 911. I just wet myself.
Mindy Rickles, you guys. Mindy Rickles. All right, we got to hear the end of what, then what? He threw himself in the moat.
He threw himself, and he's now in a psychiatric 3130 hold with Britney Spears.
All right, Ryder, what'd you think?
It was thrilling. We didn't even really get to the breakup, unfortunately, but obviously it was coming.
I ended it. That's
yeah, you ended it. Right. You walked away. No, it was great.
All right, Danny, what'd you think?
I've never had anyone love me that much. And I think you get one shot at that and you threw it away. And I guess what I'm saying is I dream of being stalked and also having Don Rickles for a father. So I'm envious, but I thought it was a good story.
All right, Mary Lynn.
I love your attitude of him annoying you for being in love with you. And I don't know if he ended up in the psych ward, but that's a great ending either way.
So, Mary Lynn, have you had any bad breakups?
I have been stalked before.
You have been?
Sure.
As you...
Hashtag me too. Of course.
All right, Ryder, have you had any bad breakups? Any breakups we should know about?
No, not like horrible, no. I mean, I've been dumped over the phone like multiple times. That sucks. But no, like, you know,
have
not,
you ever
not
been
via text.
Via text, I was going to ask. Yeah,
no,
never.
No.
Danny, how about you? Now, Danny, when you were dating,
yes. There
wasn't texting, was there?
No, there wasn't texting.
Yeah.
No, we had monks who would inscribe it. No, I have not had a bad breakup, but, you know, stay tuned. Marriage is awesome.
Mindy Rickles, you guys, let her hear it.
Yeah.
Amazing. So funny. And her mom is here right in the back. Say hello back there to Mrs. Rickles.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. Say hello in the back, you guys, later on. All right. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Brian Finkelstein, you guys.
Ooh.
Brian Finkelstein. Tell him what to do.
I will.
Interviews.
I once, the first temp job I had in New York, I had an interview and they said, I don't type very well. They gave me like an admin exec secretary. I don't know what the job, but they gave me one of these jobs where you have to type. But I told them I wasn't good. So they said, okay, you could just do data entry. And this is in New York in like a couple months after 2011. And so I go for my first job and it was in Deutschland Bank building, which was in Ground Zero. So it was gutted and half the building was gone. And I hadn't been down there. I'd lived in New York my whole life. I'd watched lived across the river, saw the thing. But then it was really sad to go down there. But then I went in there for an interview, with this job. And basically I had to go through a shower room. And then I put on a hazmat suit, like a clean room. And I go in there and they were testing the air for like fucking different things. And they were giving me little things to test. And I was just like, oh, okay. And they're just like, put them in the computer and enter like the numbers that are on there. Like the scientists gave me these electric things and I just had to, and I was like, I thought this was an interview. And I'm like, no, you work here now. And I was like, all right. And so, but the thing that really sucked about it was on the way for New Yorkers to see like people on vacation or tourists there. And it really fucking made me mad that people, I get it now, but right after it really bothered me. So one day during work, me and my then coworkers went up there in our hazmat suits and just like started screaming run to all the fucking tourists who were like there taking pictures, and people started running, and it was so cathartic and so great to see all these people take off. And these cops come over and I thought we were gonna get in trouble. One cop came over and he's like, he was for the construction site, he was security. And he's like, what was that? And I was like, I don't know, I hate these people. And he's like, yeah, me too. And then me and two of the guys in the hazmat suits, the security guard cop, and the construction workers who had a cooler full of beer, just sat and drank beers in fucking Ground Zero in hazmat suits. And it was one of the best days of my life.
Brian Finkelstein. It was like a Shawshank Redemption moment or something. What'd you think, Mary Lynn?
I am stunned at your behavior.
Sorry.
It's like the underbelly, the untold stories of chasing people away and...
But I'm the hero of the story, right?
Yeah. You're the hero of my heart.
Oh, that's...
Danny, what'd you think?
I I love this story. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I when I was in New York, I lived right across the street from the World Trade Center. So I have some understanding of that. Can I just, this is totally apropos of nothing, but I heard the best 9/11 joke ever on 9/15. And it was Bob Saget, of all people. And we were, he was at a dinner, and he's like, he said, a lot of people are saying 9/11 is worse than Pearl Harbor, but not the movie. Which I thought was a really funny joke for...
That is a funny joke.
That's a funny joke. I mean, it's like 5 days later. It was, yeah. That's all
it
I
It wasn't
got.
Too soon. It was, it was no, appropriately
great,
funny.
Great, great, great.
I mean, both movies were phenomenal.
They were. They were.
What'd you think, Ryder?
Yeah, it was really great. It was, you know, kind of touching and weird, and it reminded me. I remember I was in New York on 9/11, and I had the same sort of reaction when somebody I knew had gone down and like grabbed junk, like, and brought it back to the apartment, and I met up, and I was like, this is awful. Like, why are you taking a piece of this tragedy? And then also I was kind of like, I should have probably kept that piece of shit. You know, like, there is some... So it's like that weird tug and pull, and their story kind of danced around that same feeling. Because, yeah, it was weird. It's like, you want to be a part of this cultural event, but at the same time, why are we making the tourist trap out of it?
Yeah. Well, what's good about this topic on the wheel is everybody has had interviews, good interviews, bad interviews. Marilyn, can you share one of your interviews with us?
Oh, wow. I was still thinking about 9/11.
Yeah, I know. See, that's trying to get out of that. We're trying to pull right out of that because
I think I was here for 9/11, so I probably was one of those people that would go to it, even though I want to be the person that you were in the hazmat suit chasing.
I've since gone back and been up, so I get it.
Okay, maybe we could go there together someday. But now I need to tell my I auditioned. I was a ticket taker at the mall, but at the movie theater,
yeah,
at the Beverly Center. I also worked at the Hard Rock Cafe at the Beverly Center, which was horrible for a different reason. Way longer story, one woman show about that. But the ticket taker, I was told that I wasn't good enough to be concession stand material. I couldn't be the face of the movie theater, so I got relegated. And then also, I ate from a half full box of candy during the credits of Dumb and Dumber. You're welcome for that.
Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Brian Finkelstein, let him hear it. And Marilyn Rice Cubb. All right, you guys, coming up right now for a true 2-minute story is Debbie June, you guys. Let her hear it. Debbie June, tell her what to do.
And now we all.
Oh, here we go. It's very exciting. Debbie has landed on audience once again. Now, they've already thrown out some suggestions, but they might have thought of others. Have you guys, do you have any other suggestions?
Candles.
Candles? What else? Ellen. Wait, what else? Come on. Being an Orthodox Jew. Come on.
Stephen King.
I got a story there. Traffic stops. What are you dying? Mary Lynn is going back to the suggestions before.
I don't either. What were they?
There was wedding before.
There was virginity, wedding. Yeah, the reader knew.
There was first penis.
Mexican food?
Whoa, Mexican food, first penis she saw.
Oh, you want virginity?
Penis. Yeah, let's
Okay, let's give her virginity.
Virginity, you guys. Everybody had it, everybody lost it. Here she goes.
So I lost my virginity 3 years ago, because growing up, my dad was the chief Orthodox rabbi of Los Angeles, and so I was not allowed to touch boys and also not allowed to use tampons because it would take away my hymen. So basically, I just sucked a lot of dicks for a long time. And then, finally I met a guy. I was like, oh, he's going to be the one to take my virginity. And we like went to Italy together, but we were just friends at the time. And I got really drunk one night in Venice. And I was like, please just fucking put your penis in me. And he was just like, no, I can't do it because we can't be together because I'm not Jewish. And I'm like, just shove it in. Who cares? And so he didn't. And then our relationship kept kind of going, and we got more and more involved, and then we went to a big resort vacation in Mexico together with all of our friends, and it was super romantic. It's like we had our own room, and it was amazing, and I was like, oh my God, please, can you fuck me in Mexico? It's fucking great. It's beautiful. There's water. And he's just like, no, I can't do it. We can't be together. And I'm like, all right, fine. So then we got back to LA, and finally I was like, you're putting your dick in me now, so it's happening. So finally, he took me to Majestic Playa del Rey, where he finally took my virginity, and all of our friends were waiting because they were betting on whether it would happen before midnight or after midnight, and it was before midnight. So congratulations, Ian. You finally fucked me.
Debbie June, you guys. Wow. Debbie June. And she didn't even use the whole 2 minutes, but she didn't need to. No. You know what I mean? She could just tell that story just like that. Yeah. What did you think, Ryder?
It was great. And she worked Mexican food in there somehow, too, obliquely. Mexico. Yeah, no, we got a full story.
We got a full story. Mary Lynn, you look confused.
That might just be my regular face.
That's the glowy face, yeah.
Yeah, I love a good anticipation of sex, and then it finally happened, and glad your friends were in on it, and I'm glad that you have such a disdain for your religion. So congratulations. You're doing a great job.
Danny Zucker, what'd you think?
I'm completely aroused. I think these gentlemen can see, and it's very embarrassing. I'm curious, like, I swear, maybe this is just, like the eye... The idea of being begged to have sex, like, I've never been friends with somebody. I don't care who, like, woman friend, and they're like, I want to, they go like, no, you really have to put your penis in me. I'm like, I can't even imagine saying, like, nah.
He's, we're still dating now, and it's
well, that's good. Yeah, you, I'm happy you found each other.
A long time.
That's a long time.
Wow.
He knew if he was going to be with me, then he would have to get a circumcision and become Orthodox Jewish. So,
oh, that would be a problem for me. I get that.
As an adult, he would have to get a circumcision as an adult. Yeah, that's a different whole. That's a whole.
No. Thing. Yeah, that's traumatic. Yeah.
All right, as long as we're on this topic, I think we all could agree that we need to hear Danny Zucker's virginity story. Come on, Danny.
Okay, I was young, and I was in a band in high school, and my girlfriend was the singer. She had big ones, and whatever. And so this is a really true story. First of all, it was not you. If you blinked, you would have missed it, the sex. But at the end, at the moment where you like, whoa, and that's the sound I make. It's very off-putting. Whoa. I had a nosebleed. And I discovered this because I just was like, oh, I did, whoa. And then I looked down at her boobies, and it was like Jackson Pollock had been there. And she still had sex with me again, which was amazing. So, yeah.
Danny Zucker, you guys. And Debbie June, let her hear it. Debbie June. All right, you guys, coming up for another true two-minute story is Jenna Brister, you guys. Jenna Brister, tell her what to do.
Okay, so I was backstage at Artie Lang's performance at the Staples Center, and there was cocaine and TMZ reporters everywhere. And I got asked if I wanted to meet Artie, and I was like, no, because it was like this Jabba the Hutt-style meet and greet. So I hung back, and next to me was a very noticeable character in his mid-40s from a popular TGI sitcom. Not you, obviously. Oh, we just met. A different guy with long hair, ironically. And so we started chatting, and then he asked me for my phone number. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I used to watch you on Friday nights, TGIF, third slot, go for it. And so, of course, because he's in his mid-40s, he called me the next day. Because that's what you do when you're in your 40s, call. And so he invited me out to a premiere he had that night for a movie he was in. And he was like, there's a red carpet, there's a whole thing. And I was like, I'm into it. And so we're on our way. And so we're driving to the Forum for the show, and he's like, just heads up, I'm recently divorced. And I was like, I recently deleted Tinder. Let's just do this, man. And so he's like, we're going to pick up my friend on the way. And so we detour over the hill to pick up his friend, Brenda, blonde hair. She gets in the car. We're driving along. She's like, how old are you? And I was like, that's weird. And I did not ask her back because I have manners. And we get to the Forum, and then we're on the red carpet, and it's like me and Brenda posing for pics. Like, he's getting interviewed over there. We're like, Brenda. And then mysteriously, she leaves. She has a panic attack, and she leaves. And on her way out, she's like, how long have you guys been dating? And I was like, just today. It's going really great. She leaves. I Google him that night. Turns out that's his first wife. He invited his first wife on our first date. So I call him, and I'm like, did you invite your first wife on our first date? And he's like, yeah, I do it because, you know, I don't want it to be weird. And I'm like, fuck you. But we're still friends. And no, he was not on Friends. He was on Blossom.
Ah, Jenna Brister, Jenna Brister. Amazing. Come back up here.
Oh, I gotta stay. Oh,
yes,
God,
you have to stay. That
was on Blossom.
Boy, I was on the edge of my seat. Danny, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, I'm so disappointed it's not Dave Coulier. That's who I was pulling for, because yes. You can then sing like some Alanis song.
Yes.
Yeah.
You gotta know.
Yeah, it's the angriest song ever written about Dave Coulier, yeah. I think, in many ways. So Joey Lawrence, huh? It's crazy. That's an amazing.
It was a different one. This is on a podcast. Did I sign my life away?
Yes.
This is podcasted. It's not Joey. It's the older brother.
Interesting.
The one with the rehab storyline.
I don't know.
We're all scattered.
Too old. Yeah.
It's like you
that's
think
too deep of a cut. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hella deep.
I thought it was a great story.
Thank you.
I felt for you. Yeah, I was just like. I like a beginning, middle, and end. You gave it to me. Fantastic.
You get it.
All
right, Mary Lynn, what'd you think?
You know that, like that Shonda Rhimes, like, my year of yes! Like, this is a vote for why you should never say yes! Yeah, I'm in for your stupid premiere.
Yes. Before. I was young. I was in my 20s still.
Without knowing anything about you.
But you got a great story out of it.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Okay. Keep saying yes.
It was a breakup. It's a breakup story.
Yeah, it was a breakup.
I was just saying that to be funny.
I see.
I'm not really. My whole life is spent saying yes to things. I got pregnant 3 months into knowing my husband. That's how I say yes. Okay, everybody. This is how we do it. Met him in the improv. And I was like, this is the hottest guy I've ever seen. And then 3 months later, pregnant with my child, who is now nine. And he is husband and father of my child. So I am...
saying yes.
Was just being contrary for... comedic purposes.
All right. Ryder Strong, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was great. A nice twist at the end, awkward date story, and then it ends, had a nice twist. So, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you guys, Jenna Brister. Woo! Okay, one more storyteller coming up for the true two-minute story, and then you guys have the hard work to do because you have to choose two people going on to the third round and telling a three-minute story.
They're all winners, though.
I know, they're all winners. And here comes another winner right now, John Gabris, you guys. Put your hands together. John Gabris. All right, tell him what to do.
Forget that every time. It's a big conceit of the show. I don't even know which one I want. Holly Weird. This sucks. I hate talking about the business, but because I don't have many stories about the business. Okay, here it'll be super topical. I'm in a movie that premiered on Netflix today or yesterday called Game Over Man. Yeah, that's all. I'm just pandering for applause so I can get my big round of Netflix residuals. That's a real inside baseball joke because those fucks don't give it. As two execs walk out. No, I'll do anything. In that movie, it's my friends, the Workaholics guys, made the movie, so they email me and I'm like, do you want to be in this movie? I'm like, hell yeah. The character's role is named Husky Hostage. Very much a compliment. I once got an offer to play a role that was called Gabris, my name, and then in parentheses it said Big Fat Party Animal. And my friend sent it to me. I'm like, I understand having that in there for other people to read, but when you have my name and Big Fat after it, I'm reading, okay. So in this, I get the script, I'm like, I'm in. And then I read the script, and in the script for this movie, I get my ass eaten at gunpoint. Spoiler alert. A guy is forced to eat my ass. It's way cuter and funnier than it sounds when I say that. And I spend the next, like, I literally told this story earlier today, so it's perfect in my mind. I spent like 4 hours going,
preparing myself to be like, okay, I could do this. I'm an actor. A guy can definitely eat my ass. And then I started thinking, like, really, I was so deep down to the, like, should I buzz or should I shave with shaving cream? And I'm like in my head and I'm like, oh, remember to pack baby wipes for Vancouver. Talk to your gay friend Mono about, like, maybe an enema or something like that. Because I'm a shitter, so I'm a celiac, I think. I haven't gotten diagnosed. I just know when I eat bread, I shit like a demon. Then 5 minutes later, after I'm freaked out, my phone rings. I pick up the phone, and it's the producer of the movie. They're like, they're going to come down to L.A. to fit you for the prosthetic ass. Let me know when you're ready. And I went, oh, yeah, of course. Prosthetic ass. Yeah, please, bring it down right now.
John Gabris, you guys. John Gabris. Wow. That was a weird story. Yes. That was definitely Holly weird.
Hey, I know Ryder is real strict on the fucking suggestions here, so yeah. That was both Holly and weird.
Perfectly Holly weird.
Okay.
Ryder, yeah.
Perfectly on topic, very funny. That was great. Great story.
Do you approve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That
was, okay, that was and awesome. Have you, because you're an actor, of course, have you ever had to
I've had to be naked, and I've definitely had that, like, debate of, like, what am I supposed to, like...
How hard are you supposed to get, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be full frontal, you got to give it a little wiggle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You want a little blood in there, but if you come out hard for this scene,
it's
now you're
like
pot committed,
right,
like everyone sees
you.
Yeah,
yeah. Everybody out.
The guy is miking you like, hey, pal, take a deep breath here.
Wow. Did they do that on Girl Meets World?
No. Christ.
Yeah, that was a really fucked up episode of Boy Meets World where you had full frontal.
Oh, yeah, you know,
you're like, Corey, help me! Feeny's got me trapped in the basement.
Danny Zucker, what do you think?
I literally watched this movie last night not knowing you were in it. And,
is that true?
No, it really is true because Adam Devine's been on our show and he was telling me about it and he told me a lot of stuff that was going to happen. He didn't tell me that. Thank you so much.
If I go to get that, I'm not going to be back for 40 minutes.
Me either. And so I'm watching it, and I'm like, my son. I'm watching it with my son, who's 17, and he likes stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, that's John Gabris. And we had met him before. It's like, oh, this is great. He's going to be great. Watch this. And honestly, 5 seconds later, not knowing it was a prosthetic ass, because all I was thinking about being hirsute. All I could think about was, like, wow, that guy is clean. I mean, to me,
my mom literally, the only thing she said about it was, how much did they pay that other guy?
Oh my God.
I'm like, no. Thank you, Joanne.
No, for me, like, it's like I'm sitting on a fox. That's how it looks like. So I really, it would be a
Your
lot of work.
Your pubic hair is all red, too?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
it
fucking
is.
Weird.
Red, yeah. Hasn't gone gray yet. Okay.
All right, Mary Lynn, what'd you think?
Oh, dang. You know, yeah, you agreed to this without knowing. And like I've always said, you should always say yes to things because it all works out in the end.
All right, you guys, John Gabris, let him hear it.
Woo.
All right, this is the exciting portion of the show where you three have to decide which two names are going back in the jar. And then they're going to come up and tell a true three-minute story. So it's very exciting. But in the meantime, I do want to thank a couple of people helping us out tonight. Matt at the bar. Matt, serving up very cold Pacificos, and I know that for sure. We also have Rick in the back. Rick in the sound booth. Thank you, Rick. There's Rick on the glass. And Jim Coughlin. Jim Coughlin always helps me out. Thank you, Coughlin. George Fennell right down here on the clock. You're doing a great job on the clock. And my co-producer, John Cohen. I need a big round of applause for John Cohen. Because honestly, you guys, I've been doing this show for 6 years, but in the last 9 months, it's really picked up. And you know why? John Cohen. So that's the good news. So thank you so much for that. I also want to tell you guys, my show Storyworthy is coming up on its 8th anniversary, if you can believe that. Storyworthy Podcast on its 8th anniversary. There's over 485 episodes up right now that you can listen to completely for free. Find Storyworthy over on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, Stitcher, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Or if you don't believe in any of those apps, those listening apps, then just go to storyworthypodcast.com. Because that's I'm a giver. It's that simple for you guys. Yeah? Yeah. And listen, here's some exciting news. Story Smash, our game show, is going to be at the Festival of Books this year at USC. Do you guys ever go to the Festival of Books? Ryder, have you been to the Festival of Books?
Yeah, I'm not going to go this year, but yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ryder.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll be there Sunday, April 22nd at 3 o'clock. It's totally free. It's done at USC, and we are in the Annenberg Auditorium. So there's that. Okay, so these guys are thinking hard. It's getting very exciting. I'm feeling heat behind me. I think that means they're going to give me a couple of names, and we're going to put them back in the jar. I'm not even going to know who she puts in this jar. Only Mary Lynn, Danny, and Ryder know.
This is not easy.
This is not easy. It's definitely not easy.
These weren't the ones I would have chosen, but I want to point that out right away.
Just agreed.
Danny, what's easier to tell, a two-minute story or a three-minute story?
That's interesting. I always like more time, but I'm a bit verbose. So, I would rather tell a three-minute story.
Three-minute story. Ryder, what do you want to tell?
Three minutes. Everything works in the rules of threes, too, story-wise. So
interesting.
Having like a nice, yeah. That's the right. That's
that
right.
Makes it even, yeah, for you. Okay, Mary Lynn, any preferences?
Yeah, always longer. I mean, if it's shorter, it's just exciting to see if they can do it.
It was
the time,
exciting,
right?
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Three, you can lay back and relax.
All right, so the person coming up right now to come up and lay back and relax is John Gabris. Come on back up, John Gabris. Tell them what to do, you guys.
Oh, man, I truly didn't think I was going to be here. Thanks for having me. I was opening an edible to start eating it because I figured I was done. I was like, oh, I'm getting out of here. I could eat this just in time to go home and crank it to myself, get my salad tossed. Oh, spin that wheel, right? In the third round, too? I forget.
You know, on second thought.
Yeah, here you're going to crank it
I'm in now. Start the clock now. Let's get this shit over with. No, please don't. I need every minute. Stage time. Oh, please give me Holly Weird again. Oh,
man.
Food.
Okay, food. I'm not a fan. Oh, fuck. I have the most fucked up relationship with food whatsoever. I eat it when I'm happy. I eat it when I'm sad. I'm like, oh, I booked that big job. That deserves a meal. Oh, I didn't get shit. That deserves a meal. You know, and I'll just go fucking in on food. Here's a couple of like true fat stories. We all know the thing, like you order Thai food for just yourself and there's like 12 sets of chopsticks and you're like, I get it. All right, that's not enough. That's more than one person's food. But one time, you don't know what I'm talking about. You've never taking a pizza out of a pizza delivery guy's hand, turned to an empty apartment and went, guys, the pizza's here. No, I'll get it. Don't you relax. I'll treat, my treat. These guys were starving from playing basketball. Shut the door and fucking shut the lights off. I like to be like in sweatpants on a tarp in the dark when I eat. And I want my wife to be as geographically far away from me as possible because she's a judger. She's a judger. She doesn't realize it. I'm a body language expert. I could see when she like, when I reach for like another thing, I see her look at me and then I look at her like, do you want to say something? I'm like fucking like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. I'm like, oh, you think you're crazy? I'll fucking eat the whole plate if you say one word to me right now. You don't understand being fat unless you've had two delivery guys talking to each other outside of your door. Because you thought you timed the quesadilla with extra crack sauce from Calexico to come right before the General Tso's chicken from Red Apple. I'm just doing some local Carroll Gardens plugs right now. If any listeners of the podcast live off the Carroll Street stop, those are some primo delivery food restaurants. Here's a food story. I one time ate 13 slices of pizza in 2 minutes for a talent show. They were like the smaller slices. They were like Domino's slices. But I ate 13 slices in 2 minutes and just jammed them all down my mouth. I was wearing an American flag tank top and a bandana. And American flag bandana, and I am a real American. The Hulk Hogan theme song was pumping, and this was for a male beauty pageant. The other guys, it was like for charity. The other guys like played piano or guitar, and I ate a bunch of pizza, and then I threw it all up backstage in a bucket, but didn't puke out. It just was reverse peristalsis, and it was just slowly, and I was pulling it out.
John, that's the end, yeah, Gabris, more or less. John Gabris, wow. That was a lot of food. That was a lot of food.
I'm Ryder. So used to talking to my therapist about it, so it was nice to talk to strangers about it.
Ryder, what did you think?
It was really, really funny, man. It was really funny. You started off with a great line, and it had been set up by your other stories. It was perfect. It wasn't one story, though. It was like, it was more.
All right, here we go. The rules guy.
I'll do the rules guy.
Actually, according to Article 7B. you forgot to grade the homework.
Mary Lynn, what did you think?
Super, super funny. What's the word for the back up?
Peristalsis.
Peristalsis.
Wow.
That's your like intestine moving it through you, and it was coming backwards. Like it just had reached the top. There was no room for it to go.
Right,
so it was slowly all right, guys, let's turn around. And
that's
it just
exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Wow, and a new word as well. That's exciting. Go ahead, Danny.
I loved it. I mean, I'm going to be a rule. I mean, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it had a beginning, middle, and end.
Okay.
If I'm just being strict on story. That said, it was a tight three on food. I mean, that was unbelievable until you get points on that. And I have my own issues with food and eat in all of those ways. And have absolutely faked to the Postmates guy.
Oh, yeah.
Have absolutely done that.
You don't know fat until you've put other garbage on top of the garbage you put in the... Like, I'll be like, just rip toilet paper off and jam it on top.
No,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, don't see what I ate.
Absolutely.
Receipts are burnt. Yeah, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah, so I related.
John Gabris, you guys. John Gabris, let him hear it.
Well done.
Okay. This is so exciting. The final story of the night. So this is great. And this person's coming up to tell a true 3-minute story. And then you guys have to select a winner out of all this talent. So get ready for that.
Oi.
Yeah. Coming up to the stage right now is Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Brian Finkelstein. Tell him what to do. Growing up.
All right, I'll tell a story about my dad. So my dad, I grew up in Monroe, New York, which is like an hour north. My dad was a cop in the city, a racist cop. I mean, it's repetitive. And he had like a racist mustache. But when he was like becoming lieutenant, because he's a Jew, so he like could take tests better, so he got promoted quickly. So he became a lieutenant, and they asked me to give like a speech and say like something good about your dad, and I was like, I don't have a good story about my dad. He's an asshole. And so what I came up with was a story about when I was like 8, and I woke up one day and the like neighbor's house was on fire, and I looked out the window, and my dad was like in his tidy whities with his like racist cop mustache, and he had a hose, and like so the neighbor's house was burning, and it was like burnt down, so he was hosing our house off to the sparks, which is what you're supposed to do because the sparks don't fly. So I felt protected. I felt like, well, one good thing about my asshole dad was he always protected us, not from himself but from everybody else. And so I told that story, and like cops do. And so I like told that story, and it went well. And I came home, and I told my mom. And my mom, they'd been divorced by then. And my mom was like in the kitchen, like eating spaghetti and meatballs, because she thinks she's Italian, even though she's Irish. And she smokes like a Virginia Slim Light, like just chain smoking. And she goes, "Oh," I told her what story I told, and she goes, "You think that's what happened?" I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, let me tell you the real story about what happened with that fire. So she tells me a story about the Belknap's house who was on fire. Their son, who was older than me, I was 8, and their son, Warren, who was 15, stole my bike. And so I had a new bike. I loved the bike. And so my dad went over there and, like, tried to get my bike back. And I remember that bike. I love that bike. I love that bike. It was the best thing I've ever had still. I'm trying to think of something. Nope, that's it. I there's nothing. I'm like, I literally just scrolled every image of things I've had in my life. And so my dad went over there and knocked on the door. And Abe, his name is Abe, the fireman, he opens the door and he's like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, your kid stole my kid's bike. And my dad was like, you know, you got to give the bike back. And Abe was like, well, kids will be kids. He's like, well, your kid's 15, my kid's 8. That's not, those aren't kids. Your kid's kind of more of an adult. And Abe's like, well, let them work it out. And shut the door in my dad's face, which you don't do to my dad. So my dad's logic was, this guy's my dad's a cop, and he can't do anything about a crime, and Abe's a fireman,
So my dad, when they went on vacation, and his partner went over there into his garage and lit some stuff on fire and burnt this guy's house down. Which my father has admitted since then, because now he's a lawyer, because he's on both bad sides of the law. And statute of limitations has passed, and he's very proud of it. And so he burnt that house down and wasn't protecting us, was fucking committing crimes.
Brian Finkelstein. Brian Finkelstein. Stay with us. Wow, that was exciting. That was so exciting. What did you think, Ryder?
That was amazing, dude. That was a great, great story. That was like, yeah, it's tragic. And funny, but very, very tragic at its heart. And yeah, wonderful.
Okay, all right. And Mary Lynn?
Yeah, that was a hot story.
Nice.
Wow, what an asshole. That's amazing.
He's for the podcast. He's a good person now. If he listens to this,
sorry. You're
no,
a good
he's an
person
asshole
now,
then, but he's nice now.
But still proud of it.
He's still proud of it. I mean, in a way, that's pretty fucking
badass.
That's pretty badass.
All right, I've changed my opinion entirely.
I never got bullied again in high school, like or any. Like, never. Like, I,
he's a hero.
Or your brother either, right?
No, my brother, my sister, we all were fine.
I mean, maybe we should all just start doing more stuff like that.
I guess, yeah, maybe he's an asshole. Yeah,
like, great detail, amazing story. I
mean, yeah, like on the first day you meet your neighbor, just burn their house down and let it be known who's the king of the neighborhood.
I definitely feel that about, like, car. Like, if you hit a bumper and, you know, it should be, like, Italy. Like, whatever. Like, why we all stand there and give the insurance and, like...
What do you think, Danny?
I feel a little bit like I felt about the stalker story in that my father never loved me enough to burn anything down.
I'm sorry.
No, he's dead, so it all worked out. But no, it's fine. If he had even one time thrown a baseball with me, I would be an accountant, I'm sure. So this is...
So he did his job.
It all worked out. Yeah. I don't know how people with great parents... do this. I love that story. That took me by surprise, that ending.
Okay, Danny, wait. You have three kids?
I do.
You have three. Mary Lynn, you have one. And Ryder, you have one. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're all growing up right now.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Brian Finkelstein, let him hear it. Okay, this is where the real work begins, because you guys have to decide now who is the winner of Story Smash. And those two fellas, Brian Finkelstein and John Gabris, they both won before. So, I mean, they're already champions.
Oh, it's a tournament of champions. Okay.
It is a tournament of champions, so you guys figure that out. Surprising. And again, I want to thank Rick in the back doing sound for me tonight. Thank you, Rick. George doing the clock. Matt at the bar. Keep clapping, keep clapping. It's free, you know. Clapping is free. Jim Coughlin, that guy always helps me out. Coughlin, thank you so much. It's a lot of moving parts on this show. John Cohen, my co-producer, amazing. Thank you so much. And again, we're going to be back here at the... Actually, we're going to be at the Festival of Books on April 22nd. Ryder won't be there. We'll be there. And we're back here at the Improv on April 28th, which is another Saturday night. So hopefully you guys can come back and see Story Smash again. Again, thank you so much for coming out. And I want to give a big round of applause to all the contestants tonight. Mindy Rickles, come on. Jenna Brister, amazing. John Gabris, fantastic. Brian Finkelstein. And Debbie June. So thank you. And again, this big round of applause for Danny Zucker, Mary Lynn Ricegub, Ryder Strong. Are you kidding me? They're going to be here for autographs after the show. And now, if you would like to tell me how you guys decided upon your opinion or your decision.
Again, this wasn't my choice. but they were really insistent. Well, you know, this was a real tough one.
It was a very tough one.
This was the hardest one. I've done this now. This is my third time doing this. This is the hardest one I've ever had to do.
Yeah. This is a tough one. Mary Lynn, any thoughts on your decision?
I mean, I really thoroughly enjoyed everybody, you know, the whole way through. And the way we made this decision is comedy performance versus story.
Interesting. Ryder, any thoughts?
Yeah, that's what it came down to, and we just decided to go with story.
Interesting.
But we loved everybody, and these last two guys just knocked it out of the park.
Well, here's something I forgot to mention, that the winner of tonight's show is going to take home these homemade chocolate chip cookies that I made. So
they are badass.
That's the prize right there. All right, Mary Lynn Ricegub, would you please announce the winner of Story Smash?
Brian Finkelstein, everybody.
Brian Finkelstein, ladies and gentlemen. Come on up, Brian.